This episode of Scott Church American Photographer is brought to you by the Downtown Lounge, Lebanon's premier sports bar. On today's episode, we have gifted art model Natalia Nada, who just it was an absolute pleasure to talk to, and I really hope you enjoy this one. I don't want to spoil it. Here it comes. So again, we've already been talking for like 10 minutes and it just doesn't, you know, because I always wait, you know, just to make sure that everything is good. And
you know me for a long time.
Tell everyone who you are. Like you need an introduction.
Yeah, my name is Natalia Nada. I've been modeling for what, 25 years?
There you
go. Just to say,
start.
I'm 51. I'm still doing it. I don't think it's an age on the limit. It's not age limit on modeling. I think you can do this job as long as you have imagination and capability and physical.
Well, you're still busy as shit.
Yeah.
You're the only person that's putting any kind of limit on yourself as far as your age goes, because I guarantee there are still a lot of people that are working with you and you're doing a whole lot of things.
Put a limit. Just I know a lot of models overall saying, oh, I'm 40, it's time to retire. Oh, I'm 45, it's time to retire. And yes, I can tell you industry changed.
Sure. Yeah.
It pisses me off because new photographers who come in around, they call themselves photographers. They're looking for, I'm sorry, for fresh pussy, fresh tits. They don't look to create an art.
How do you really feel?
Seriously.
Here's the question. Here is the direct question. Mm-hmm. All right. What went wrong?
Money.
Okay. All
money,
right.
Money, greed.
On both sides.
On both sides. Yes. Exactly on both sides. I agree with you. Like I'll repeat, new photographers, guys with the cameras mostly, coming in the industry, they think that they can make a buck shooting those girls doing the spreads, forgetting that even in the spreads, it's the art of it. I'm sorry, I can spread my legs all day long. It's no issue, but I like to make it that it will draw attention, not to my pussy, but to my face, to my expression versus my genitals.
To the overall.
Yes, it needs to be a quality of the image. It needs to be an idea. It needs to be a flow. It's a lot of components what people who came in the industry now don't understand and never learn how to do.
There's a big difference between creating art and creating content.
Exactly. And it's game all about content.
Content can be just about the pussy, and that's the only thing that people are going
for.
And
I'm not interested in content. I done contact in my early life. Yes, I made good money, but at this point, I want to leave something behind. I don't want people to look on the image of my, whatever, pussy we'll talk about, think, oh, great pussy. No,
yeah.
I want them
if
to look on the image.
If that's not a good word, we can alternate. We can bounce,
I don't care.
You know.
It doesn't bother me.
Snapper,
yeah, we
cunt.
Can,
we can go,
pussy cat,
screw
whatever.
It. Screw it. Hey, there.
But.
I'm so sorry. All right, this hum in this room is terrible. Grab your makeup. We're going back into the back room.
Oh,
because this hum will, yeah. I will hate myself for starting the podcast with this hum. So the back room is a little bit less. We are all about the quality here at this podcast.
Nice.
See, it's less of a hum back here.
Well, I work with a lot of artists, painters. I kind of convert from, I'm still modeling, like I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, of course.
But I kind of transition more to art modeling, which is very high demand in the area where I live.
Yeah.
And painters, drafters, people like to create pieces, people who like to practice, and the book models on a daily basis is who I work with. And one artist who I work with told me a phrase, and it stuck in my head. He said that if artists fall in love with a model, this model is, how he said it, immortal.
Mm.
I want to be immortal.
Yeah.
It's my goal. And I think I'm going in the right direction. Paintings of me in National Gallery, a couple of paintings in New York Gallery, but they bought it from painter. And yeah, I don't get money out of it, but I can go and see myself. It's all.
It's the kind of thing that truly lasts longer than money.
Yeah. Money is money. I love money.
Sure.
But how much I need? I don't need much.
Yeah.
I have what I want. If I want to buy something, I'll buy something. I'll work extra and I'll buy something what I want. Otherwise, what the fuck? Stuck them in a box?
Yeah. The goal should never be to have more money than you need. The goal should just be to not need fucking money.
Exactly. I agree. I'm in good place. I'm happy what I'm doing. Definitely happier than I was ever. I'm doing what I love. And like we talked earlier, I'm my own boss. Yeah, my boss is crazy and books a lot and work me like a horse. But same time, if I need a day off or if I can need to come to Lebanon to see Scott Church, I can drop everything else and come here because I'm my own boss. Exactly. So fuck it, I'm not doing this gig. I will apologize to whatever I book with and say, hey, let's reschedule. And usually people flexible.
Yeah.
And I'll come here. Or come somewhere else.
So how did this all start? Tell me everything there is to know about you.
Modeling?
Modeling's fine, or start wherever you want to start.
Well, modeling started very funky for me. I was about 18, walking through the park in Ukraine with my friend, and some dude pulled me on the side with my friend and offered us to participate in Miss Rivne, which is at the city in the Ukraine where I used to live. Participate in a beauty contest.
Yeah.
And I got in a beauty contest.
No shit.
Yeah. I was 18. I was pretty good, nice looking chick.
Right.
And I went through pretty much all to last six, I believe. It's been so long. And when I realized that, fuck, to get first or second place, you need to fuck somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't interested. I was young, but I had in my head I didn't want to fuck somebody just for that.
Right.
I pretty much dropped out. I walked out of contest. I didn't want to do it. And but I learned how to behave myself and how to work with the camera.
Right.
And it's helped me. I didn't do this for a while. I had kids. I got married. I got divorced. And I ended up in the States in 2000. And I was married again. Had another kid. Modeling kind of went.
How did you end up here?
I came in States on a fiancé visa. I was mail-in bride.
No shit.
Oh, shit.
No shit. Oh, oh that's shit. Awesome. He picked you like off the internet?
Yeah.
And okay. All right. I have to know this story. All right. So flat out, your words, not mine, mail-in bride.
Oh, fuck
okay.
Yeah.
Now.
2000.
Were you on a particular website? Like,
I don't remember.
How did it get started? How did the connection happen?
In Ukraine, a long time ago, we didn't have computers.
Right.
I couldn't afford one. I didn't even know I even could buy one. But when it's warmed up economically-wise, a lot of agencies start to pop, and they would buy computers, they would buy software. You go in, and you give them your photographs, fill questionnaire, and they put your information online. You tell them what country you want
so
to end up
in. So it's an agency.
Yes.
Not, you weren't dealing with it directly. You were working for an agency.
I didn't work for the agency. Agency would set you up. They would.
Okay.
It's like your dating agency online. You fill your profile, it's floating.
Got it.
And somehow, I don't know what the fuck, my profile got a lot of hits.
Okay.
My friend didn't get nothing. I got a lot.
You're a pretty good looking girl.
Well, I was. And agency was pretty much like a middleman. They were passing messages from guys who were emailing me. Good thing was I was broke. I was broke school teacher.
Right.
I couldn't afford to pay anything, but agency wasn't concentrating on getting money from me. They were getting money from
them. No. They're
them.
Taking money for
from,
every
for
message,
me it was
everything,
free. Correct.
Every piece. Yeah.
And I was talking to several people, and since I have my family, my heritage, I'm Greek on both sides of my family, from my mom's side and my dad's side, and I was looking somebody who I can connect with. And I was... Be honest with you, I was looking more to Europe because I want to be close to home. But life is life and takes you whatever fuck it takes you. I met this guy and he was American and he was Greek.
Okay.
I was like, oh my fucking God, that's great. I thought.
Right.
We connected, we talked. He was looking, separate story from him, he was looking for Ukrainian Greek. He thought that that woman would be submissive.
Got it.
Wake up call. And he came to Ukraine. We met. Nice guy. I would never lie. I wouldn't say I loved him. No. But I like him. Sure. I learned to respect him. And we were together for 5 years officially married. 7 years together officially married for five. I walked out.
So you moved to where?
I used to live in Ukraine, and he...
Where did you come when you came?
Atlanta.
When you came to
Atlanta. He used to live in Atlanta. I came, it took about 8 months.
Oh, that's a huge city. That's a monster city.
Yes. I live in Atlanta for 15 years. Oof. Five of them, we lived together. I didn't know much about Greeks, but never ever, if you need advice, never ever date or marry a Greek man. Sorry.
Ooh, okay.
Very arrogant. Most of them hate women. Not in ways they disrespect women. Women is a tool, and women is a mother of the children. A woman is a wife, would be
a housewife.
Housewife.
Yes.
Who doesn't have a voice, who cannot say yes before husband say yes, who cannot make his own decisions. I'm sorry, I'm not like that.
I wouldn't figure you'd fit that mold very well at all, as a matter of fact.
I bit my tongue probably for 5 years.
Yeah.
And...
Did you become a citizen?
No. I'm still having green card. I never became a citizen. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I'm just wondering.
And he was extremely jealous. Jealous to the point that storming out of restaurants, yelling and screaming. He wasn't physically abusive, but he was mentally abusive.
Yeah.
And one time after a big scream fight, I told him, if you ever put your hands on me, you're not going to wake up in the morning.
Mm.
Pretty much.
That's such a scary fucking threat. The whole, like, I'll
kill
you
in your
sleep.
It wasn't a threat. I told him how I felt.
Sort of thing.
And I walked out with the two kids and one garbage trash bag full of clothes. Pretty much nothing. I left everything. And he was wealthy. He was director of dealership and work. He was making about $250,000 a year then.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good money.
Yeah, it's good money.
And I walked out in nothing. Me and my friend rented a house. I was working then as assistant store manager in retail, and I filed for separation.
Hmm.
And I was single, dated guys here and there. I never got with somebody, and I met my better half online. You know him. And we dated long distance. Scott, Magic Imagery, Scott Pearson. He lives in D.C. He's well known in his area for his work. And we dated.
He's well known because he's incredibly talented.
He's talented. I'm not trying to also sing the songs about his talents.
Oh, no, of course.
He knows. People can check him out and just look his work online.
Very talented.
It's Magic Imagery with two C's. And like I said, sorry, my trash words.
No.
We dated about 7 months. Long distance, seeing each other every month. It was
now, did
hard.
You meet him as
online,
a model? Were
yes.
you already starting? Like, did you left the marriage?
Yes, I was
you
already divorced by that time.
Right.
I owned a house. I had a stable job. I had two kids. I had boyfriends, but nobody serious to get involved with.
Tell me about your first photo shoot when you actually started modeling for yourself.
It was before Scott. After my divorce. I worked for a company and I dated a guy. He's working around now. He lives in Arizona. His name is Tom Lennon, and we dated for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a photographer. He shoot porn.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited me to one of his shoots to help him out.
Yeah.
And when I got to the shoot, I felt like I'm fish in the water. I felt so comfortable.
Yeah.
And he saw me helping him out.
What kind of porn? Was it like magazine?
No.
Like type
online,
porn?
Or online.
Just, okay.
Online porn.
Okay.
And he sell like pics for sale. He's still doing it. And he just offered me to try. And I start again working with him. And I got very comfortable. My name in Atlanta started to spread around. And Atlanta is a pretty artsy town.
Yeah.
And I start to work again. Even I had a full-time job, I was shooting 3-4 times a week,
mm-hmm.
like with different people, and I enjoyed it. It's pretty much a revamping of my modeling.
Right.
This was like 2007, I would say, somewhere right there, maybe 6, after my divorce. And I work, and I got more popular, in my level popular. I didn't travel, it was more in-city work. Like, because I had kids, I had full-time
right.
job.
This photographer here, this
yeah,
photographer
correct.
There. Exposure and
my
name know,
started,
getting
photos
your name out
start
there.
To pop here and there, and happens that Scott start to follow me somewhere in some groups, And I follow his work because it was very beautiful. And I always was interested in the figure work.
Right.
Clothing good. I always make a joke that I can do boudoir shots in my sleep.
Right.
I don't even have to think about it.
Right.
Figure work requires a little bit more thought to it. Mm-hmm. You need to create a flow. You need to position your body different. It's completely different bird.
Right.
And we follow each other. And somehow, at some point of time, we start to talk through Messenger. And one day he messaged me, can I talk to you? And sure, you can talk to me. I was driving home from work. It was an hour drive through traffic. And we spent an hour and a half talking on the phone. He just started to go through divorce. And it was ugly. And it's true. People say that it's always easier to talk to stranger than person who you know.
Yeah.
And I was kind of in between. He knew who I am, but he didn't know who I am.
Right.
And he was telling about his life and his story and divorce. And after that conversation, something clicked. We got closer. We started to talk more often. And when everything, like, literally, we became very close.
Right.
We were talking like this probably for a good 5 months, in and out on the phone. We never met before then because he's in D.C., I'm in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's fucking drive. Right. 9 hours.
Right.
If you're lucky. And one day we decided to meet. Photographer booked me in Winesboro, Virginia.
Okay, that's much closer.
For him and for me. It's in the middle, kind of. And he booked me for a weekend, and I told Scott that I will be Winesboro, it's close to you. And he was like, okay, I will come and meet you. It's first time we met.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people make jokes of it. As soon as I lay my eye on him, I was like, I was sold.
Nice.
I knew it's beautiful. My guy. It's true story, and... We dated another 6 months long distance because he was still going through divorce and we didn't want to compromise anything because his divorce was pretty ugly. And after divorce was over, we made the decision that I need to move in D.C. because he has a job and it's harder for him to find a job. And I was a retail manager. It's easy.
Right, right.
And I moved to D.C. And
what year was that?
I moved in 2015.
Okay.
It's been almost 10 years, 9 years.
Outstanding.
Yeah. And we've been since together.
So what's the modeling scene like in D.C.?
It's busy. People have money. But like we spoke earlier, it's the same shit like everywhere else.
Mm.
Old photographers going away. I'm sorry to say that. A lot of people dying, age.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I came to D.C., it was still that good base of photographers who shoot tasteful nudes, who knew how to set composition.
Who were the names? Who were the people that you loved working
James with? James Phelps. Okay. He's still alive, but he hardly ever shoots. He was one of the people who I shot with. I don't even remember all people I work with. You can look at my portfolio and look.
Yeah.
But it was great old school photographers. I think I consider you old school too. Because you learn how to do photography starting from... you didn't start with digital, you start with a film.
Yeah.
You knew how to set exposure, you knew how to set the light, you knew how to set composition. You had the thought before you click your shutter.
Right.
And you're careful clicking your shutters. I know, like, my Scott, when we shoot, if he click his shutter 100 times in 2 hours, it's good.
Right.
And 50% of his shots, you can publish them, you can work them.
Right.
Nowadays, people shoot... thousands. I hear a conversation, I shot 3,500. I need to go through the months. Like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
All you did, click, 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 click.
Right.
You didn't set anything. You rely completely on the person who is moving. And it's like,
composition is so...
forget it. It's no composition. It's all pure luck. I got good shot because you had good model or some flicker somewhere or something else. You just fucking got lucky. And it's probably one chance in a million that you'll get another one like this. Because it's so many components need to fall together for you to get lucky.
Right.
But we jump on something else.
No, I mean, look, that's an important conversation to be had with a model and a photographer, especially when both of us have always been trying to create art with our work.
Yeah.
Look, composition and telling a story, mm-hmm. being able to put a photograph together is... really incredibly important.
I think it's
important.
80% of the shot.
Mm-hmm. And without that, look, man, I love snapshots. I love, you know, capturing a moment and really, mm-hmm. you know, showing something. But the combination of the two, mm-hmm. a perfectly set up mm-hmm. shot where you're still capturing a moment, mmm-hmm. that's gold.
But you have to have talent for that. If you don't have a talent, you need to learn how to do it. You right. need to study with people who know how to do it. And nowadays, people think that a lot of, not just guys, women too, photographers both ways. I'm not trying to, you know, punish guys that, oh my God, you're all perverts. No. Trust me, women are more perverts than men.
Okay.
And I saw so many women photographers who are so perverts that I wouldn't step my foot in the studio. I've been in a situation when I had to pack, and I'm not going to name any names.
No, no,
when
no,
I had to pack
not.
My
There's
shit
no
and get the fuck out, don't get paid, just because it was dangerous.
Yeah.
And it was women.
Wow.
Trust me. It goes both directions. But nowadays, people think, oh, I bought $5,000 camera and my lens costs $15,000. I'm a photographer.
Not to mention all of the editing software that just basically... It takes a lot of the soul.
Let's have another
out of
conversation
it.
About editing.
Yeah, it's a whole other. That's
it's
a whole other.
Because yeah. I hear all kinds of stuff, but an industry got trashy. I put it this way, it got dirty. If before you would go in the studio, work with photographer, create art, you kind of new concept, and you both collaborate on the concept, create that image, final image or final images. Nowadays. Somebody books me and this happened to me. What we doing? My question, what should I bring? Oh, right. Just something we will figure out. Uh-oh, for me, it's already a red flag. Figure out, it means
that... There are people that can do that. Okay?
Very few.
Like, because I work with clients, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty much stuck with whatever my clients, you know...
It's different.
...show up with, I'm really good at making something out of whatever people bring
Correct.
Here. But... There's a skill and there's a talent to that, too.
When you work with a pro model...
You should have a concept.
You should have a concept. Especially you're spending the money on it.
Yeah.
You really should have a concept and you should really concentrate what you can get out of it.
Right.
And what your goal is. To
right.
create beautiful picture, to sell to magazine, to put in a contest, and to create, I don't know, exceptional piece of art, whatever your goal is. And you
right.
need to stick to this goal.
Right.
And both you and the model should... should talk about it to kind of be almost on the same page.
Right.
And I don't care if it's just beautiful portrait or fucking porn. Doesn't matter.
Right, right,
everything
right.
have a place in time, but it's all need to be done in beautiful...
When you're getting hired to do a
exactly.
job, you should know what the job is before mm-hmm. you leave the house.
Correct. Nowadays, I would say 50% of time, it's no description. Oh, just whatever. And you come, it's like, what the fuck we doing?
Right.
And you have two ways for this shoot to go. Or this photographer, honest person, that he really or she will really try to create something. Or guy just waiting for you to move and get a spreadsheet. And it's a reality. A lot of models will tell that it's true. Because I work with people in several events where he booked me, like, person will book me for 30 minutes. And I'm looking on the lens, and I'm not dumb. I know what camera lens, and I know
right.
which one does what. And he would have a fish lens on his camera, and he would tell me, oh, you just move, I will shoot your portrait. Don't fool me. I know what you zoom in for. And I would move and try to, I'm sorry, the way it is, cover myself.
Right.
And he will, I'm sorry, again saying him. This person will zoom in certain places to get the shot what they
yeah.
want. And it's... I don't want shoots like that. I don't want to stress myself to the death, worried, oh my fucking God, he will get that shot.
Right.
When he like,
right.
if he, this person would come.
If you're constantly
if this,
censoring your own posing to make sure that he doesn't have access
mm-hmm.
to something that you don't want to offer.
Correct. Or I have not been asked for. You can
right.
ask me for it.
Right. Right. And that's really the thing. It's like, why the game when you're hiring someone? You, and
again,
if,
money.
If you had the conversation mm-hmm. beforehand.
I agree.
Where mm-hmm. everything was mm-hmm. made clear before you arranged, you know, your rates
mm-hmm.
and the shoot. Mm-hmm. Well, then that's not an issue.
It's
right.
It
shouldn't be an issue.
It shouldn't be, but it is. And you probably heard the horror stories, too.
Well,
models.
I mean, yeah, look. Where I went with my work, you had to be really clear about that sort of thing. When you're shooting for the magazines that I've shot for, when you're shooting for the publications that that are requesting specific things, and I'm not talking about, you know, just the porn magazines. You know, there are plenty of other magazines that, that want a particular.
Absolutely. You know, they have clientele that expect it. Yes.
And you hire the people or you work with the people that are comfortable with shooting the level of content that the job requires.
Correct.
And it's all made clear. Nobody went into any of those magazine shoots thinking that they were going to do something different than everybody else that appears in that magazine, and they would still get in.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and because I had that basis, I've always been able to, you know, be very clear about it when it was necessary. And otherwise, I just shoot at everybody's comfort level, wherever they're okay with going with it.
Nowadays, it's not the case. It's not the case. And I can speak for a lot of models.
Is that just money?
I think it's between money and the... I don't even know what it is anymore.
Like, what's the motivation
for those people
All right. Okay. We can debate the motivation for the photographers. Mm-hmm. You know, on one hand, you know, they want the dirty content. But when you get past their own personal idea of you know what they want to shoot, what are you going to do with that stuff?
Well, it's...
Like, where does it go now for photographers is my
private
question.
Collections. I hear a lot about it.
Like selling sets to
collectors.
People?
Yes. Yeah. People use...
How much control does the model have with that sort of thing?
None. You sign your rights off. None. If I get paid for the shoot, or somebody pay me to do one type or another type of work... Before I receive my money, I sign model release. Unless I have my own, some rules, 90% of time, as soon as I put that signature, I have no rights to complain or say nothing about what I just shot. I have nothing. It's all in photographer's hands, like it's always been. And if he decide to send me something for me, for my personal use, great. I'm happy. If not, I got paid. I can't complain.
Right.
You know, it's the way
it
works.
Are there a lot of shoots where you don't get pictures?
Yeah. Nowadays...
See, I can't imagine that.
Photographers do... And it's actually very often... I see this topic in photographers' chat groups because I'm in a lot of chats in a Facebook, social media, or Instagram. People saying, oh, I pay this model. I'm not required to give her nothing. Oh. Yes, you're not required to give her nothing.
I can't imagine that.
I can pull on my phone and show you conversation.
The best promotion that I have ever received in the world has been from models getting their pictures and showing my work off. The best promotion any photographer can possibly get.
People now think that, hey, I shot her, I pay her her rate, she's out of my door, I don't need to give her nothing. They don't even bother to tag model later. And I'm like... How dumb it is! But
see, here's my question. Here's my question. As what I'm going to be honest with you as an outsider, because you know what, I don't have private clients that buy private sets because it's not something I've ever even considered looking for. I have a Patreon, and my work, like I can post all of my work, you know, on the Patreon. It's an uncensored thing, and that's great, and I love that, but. That's just for a handful of fans. I've never had more than like 50 people at the height, and it averages less than 20 on my Patreon. And my Patreon, because all I really am doing is just sharing all the work that I can't share on social media. You know, when I was shooting for the magazines, there was more racy
different.
content. But the stuff that I shoot now isn't porn.
I don't
think it is. It's not to the level of Hustler or Penthouse. There's nudity and there's artistic nudity and there's some like sexy nudity and stuff like that, but it's not like crazy. But all of the models that get posted on my Patreon are people that are shooting with me to make their own content. So it's an even trade, it's an even swap, right? And I don't have like a whole bunch of places where
you see
where
Patreon
shit
and we're getting out of topic. Patreon and all other pay sites where you can post your work. People who got in the bandwagon in the beginning made money. Everybody else now, scraping the bottom.
Yeah.
I know models, and I'm not going to name you, you probably all know them anyway, who got on the bandwagon very early. Couple of girls I know making $1 million a year. Right. Between Patreon, YouTube, and the TikTok.
Right.
She clearing out. It's right. One particular
what in about Texas. OnlyFans? Because that's all same that shit. Everybody wants
same
to...
Same shit.
Yeah.
Again, people who got in very early grab this first wave mm-hmm. of interest and stick to it and produce very good content. They're clearing out, I don't know, I'm not going to mention numbers, thousands of dollars every month.
Sure, it is it's possible great. To make
and
money.
And a lot with. Of them retire from person-to-person modeling. They do only content and only online. They don't even leave a house.
Right.
I know several names. Models who make very
I
well.
Do too. Yeah,
everybody too. Else, scraping the bottom. It's good addition, but if you consider how much work you need to put as a model in it,
right?
Fuck that shit. I don't have it. I don't have time for it. You need to spend at least, I don't know, 2-3 days a week between shooting, editing, planning, and posting.
Right.
And you right. get
because
maybe...
Because these sites are all expecting professional level content
correct.
At this point.
And they're, what they're... you get, $500-$600 a month for this?
Right.
Fuck that shit. No. I will go and pose for Painter, make my little $30-$40 an hour.
Right.
And I don't have a headache. Yes, I made less money, but I'm consistent.
Right.
I make money every week. Every day.
And the people that you're working with are producing incredible fucking pieces
and
of art that are going to outlive you.
And it stays there. Correct.
And that's where we got sort of...
It's all. And I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Again, don't take me wrong. I love to shoot. I love that it's giving me more self-expression. I can, if I work with a pro photographer, trade or paid, whatever, fuck, it doesn't matter. I can express myself the way I cannot express with a painter.
Right.
Because it's a little bit different. I cannot do those flowy poses for painter and him to capture because it's impossible.
Right.
Pose need to be set if I do something. To be a painting or drawing, it have to be steady.
Right.
In the photography, I can move in motion around and you just take a shot when right. you see a shot. It's completely different movement. But, like I said, if we're talking about income, where I am right now, I'm happier than I ever was.
Yeah.
And I don't have to deal with bullshit. Somebody tell me, oh, you have stretch mark on your side. Okay, I'm 50 years old.
Right.
Yes, I have a stretch mark. Yes,
don't,
my teeth
don't
look.
Paint it.
They don't. Okay. They don't. They don't paint. And sometimes they do. Depends on the painting they want to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes they paint wrinkles. Sometimes they
of
don't.
Of course. Because everybody's got a different way of
correct.
Expressing themselves in their work.
And it's all
and it's the same
open.
Way with photographers. There are photographers
be.
that are over editors, and
mm-hmm.
there are photographers
who's
that try
that?
To keep things a little bit more realistic and mm-hmm. try to get a good shot in the camera.
Right. But editing is always nice.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Like we talked earlier, people, I hear a lot of things, it's, again, about photographers. Guys saying, oh, I don't edit. Photoshop is evil. I take my great shot in the camera. Yes, you can do that.
Right.
But even pros use a Photoshop to touch it up to make it better. I'm not saying remove everything from my face. No, I don't want plastic face, plastic skin.
Right.
I don't like that. But we all appreciate if accidental fat roll would pop under your bra line, which
right.
is ruined image tucked in.
Right.
Everybody knows that you will have it when you move your body. But shit happen.
Yeah.
You know, and Photoshop good for that. Or wrinkle won't popped up because I'm hanging upside down and it's a vein in the middle of my forehead.
Right.
Nobody wants to see this vein. Everybody wants to see a pose. Why not clear it?
What
it's a small
what amazes
things.
Me now is the people that grew up with the editing
mm-hmm.
expect every photograph to be like that now. And the people that grew up before the editing
mm-hmm.
respect the idea
mm-hmm.
of leaving things in that
mm-hmm.
makes someone look more real.
Yeah.
And I don't want to generalize completely
no.
because there are still plenty of new models that really appreciate looking like they actually do
mm-hmm.
and don't want to be completely changed in Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
They still have, you know, this image of
themselves
that they want to see portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the people that rely on their editing to make
mm-hmm.
a good photograph, and this is models and photographers, mm-hmm. are doing themselves a disservice and they're never really learning how to create.
I agree. But it's another topic, another conversation.
And you really don't want to talk about editing.
Well, I work with I don't do editing.
That's okay.
I don't
it's
edit.
Fine.
I can tell you what I used to do when I work. When I used to work for hire, when I used to do more photography, and I'm not the only one who does it. People not gonna say it, admit it. When I would work with photographer whose work is not very good,
yeah,
and you know people around like that, and they book you, said, "Oh, she's such a great model," and they think that you as a model will bring the quality work up,
right?
Versus on the same level, it's not true.
Right,
your work maybe will be liked more because of me. Or model who you hire, but it's really not better. When picture, and we have a saying that, for example, like Rebecca Lawrence, we're saying that you cannot take a bad shot of this girl.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
Right.
I saw bad shots of Rebecca. And same with me, when I see shots like this, I'm like cringing. I don't want this shot floating around.
Yeah.
I complain to Facebook, and they usually get the shot deleted out of
social
media. Seriously. And I'm not the only one who does it. Sorry. Internet forever.
Yeah.
If somebody search my name, all this shit will pop up.
Right.
I don't want to associate with my name.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that you couldn't set your fucking light right and put a shadow across my face. Or whatever fuck you did. Or create shadow on my ass that my ass looks like a trailer truck. Which is, I don't have like that. You know exactly what I'm saying.
I do. I know exactly
I
what you're saying.
I don't want that image there.
I just... never heard it admitted so deviantly that I contact Facebook and
you just file a complaint
because you know what it is, especially when you have releases that take all of your
rights
to these images that these people are asking you to sign. What else are you going to do if there are pictures out there that you don't want out there?
Nothing. You can politely ask photographer to remove it 90% of the time.
That's the way it always works with me. If somebody doesn't want something posted, and it hasn't been published. But if something's been published, you can't get it back.
Right.
All right. But if it's just been posted on Instagram or Facebook and somebody wants to take it down, I just take it down.
Yes. It's you.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people who wouldn't do it. Mm. Because it's a shot, you waive your rights, you have really have no say-so.
Right.
I don't want that shot on my timeline. I don't want any... Yeah, people will see it anyway. It's not going to disappear. It's just my name not going to be associated with shot. It's
right.
Not going to trail by with me. If somebody knows my face or, I'm sorry, my tattoos, which is very distinctive, they know it's me.
Right.
But same time, if you type my name, this image not going to pop.
Right. Right.
Because it's
not there. Controlling your own
on my
your own
level
image.
As
yeah.
much as I can. I did it, and I know a lot of people who do
it. The internet and social media are advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At their base level, mm-hmm. they're advertising, and you have to control
as much as I can.
As much as you can.
And it's only one way to control it. I know a lot of models could do it.
I'm sure. I can only imagine.
If you never heard it,
well, there you
can
you go.
Have it.
Now you have
you learned
it.
Something.
Now we learned something.
Yep. Otherwise, talking about me, I'm happy. I'm happy to be here today. I'm happy to have this conversation. Not often that happens.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about my shoot later. I know I will do what I think we should do. I'm pretty controlled. Sorry.
Right.
I'm type of model who, if I walk in a studio and photographer doesn't know what to do, I'll tell you what we
yeah,
can do.
You'll figure something out.
I'll take
out.
Control over shoot and we'll do what I think right. For both of us, not just for me.
That can be an absolutely wonderful or equally horrifying experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. People saying that I'm very intimidating. A lot of photographers still saying in DC areas that they're scared of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't bite unless you're asking for it.
And it's negotiated in your rates before the shoot.
If you want me to act like dominatrix, I know how to do it. I have a gear. I can bring it. But it will cost you a penny.
Oh.
It will cost you a pretty penny.
All right. That's a good place to end this. Tell everyone how they can find you.
Well, you can look for me on Instagram. My name is Natalia Nara. Or on the Facebook. I'm around. I still work. If you're interested to work with me, let me know.
All right. You're absolutely wonderful. I'm glad we got to do this.
Thanks so much for listening, guys.